Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. I'm your host, William Liu. For the last time on the Raptor show, at least, the Reaction Podcast, and the Raptors finished the season the way the most of the season has gone, especially the last few months. But Raptors lose, they kind of rolled over, and on a night where there was, you know, lots of intrigue around the Eastern Conference, I definitely had one eye on Bucks Magic as I was watching this game. Also had one eye on Knicks Bulls, and there was a lot of playoff implications for the Raptors. I mean, Miami was basically going to be stuck in the play-in, and you know, they were obviously going to beat the Raptors, and they did. They win by a score of 118-103. It wasn't even that close. Not to say that a 15-point loss is even close, but the Raptors actually made a big rush at the end there and got a whole bunch of free throws from their third unit against Miami's third unit. I'm not going to count that. But yeah, there was a lot of focus elsewhere. But of course, it's also the last game of the season, and it's like, as much as this year is really miserable and everyone's looking ahead to next year already, or just looking to get a break from watching this team this season, or just trying to get away and allow this group to completely reset. Yes, they reset their roster to a large degree, and I'm pretty sure we'll see even more of that in the summertime as well, as this team clearly has a lot of needs, given the fact that they're 25 and 57 without an identity. But, I think the players themselves, if they are to improve, are also going to have to step away from this whole grind and work on things individually to get better. Because, you know, if this group is to take a step forward and not repeat this year, you're going to need to see a lot of individual improvements from a lot of these guys. And, it's not something that's really a big deal in game 82. Nothing really been a big deal since Pascal Siakam getting traded. That was, you know, that followed with obviously OG getting traded about a month before that. Those were the season finales. Like, from that point onwards, this has been an epilogue that no one's really asked for. And especially due to the injuries and the unfortunate circumstances, like, it's gone bad. So I applaud everyone for sticking through this, especially sticking with the program. But, you know, just even if you're just tapping in here or there and you're mostly just waiting until next year with the Raptors, but you still tune into some of these, like, I commend you. Like, you know, those are your bona fides as a diehard Raptor fan, really. It's like, I'm going to watch a lot of Jalen McDaniels minutes. I'm going to watch a lot of Jordan Mora minutes. Like, it's, you know, I'm going to watch some Malik Williams minutes. Like, you know, if you actually have years from now memories of these guys that you can share with other Raptor fans, like, that's the ultimate trump card. Like, yeah, okay, we were all there for 2019, but this was some hardcore stuff that you had to sit through. But in any case, the start of this game, Raptors actually played okay, pretty competitive to begin the game. Miami's offense was also not really clicking that much. The Raptors were actually up until probably midway through the second quarter. Not by much, but they were up. And then Miami just, like, absolutely poured it on. It was a combination of the Raptors going ice cold offensively. It was also the Raptors making silly decisions offensively. Really came undone, was not playing, you know, meaningful basketball. Like, they weren't executing their scheme. They weren't, they weren't doing what they're supposed to do. They had 13 turnovers in that second quarter, I believe. And Miami just ran it the other way, as you can imagine. Like, you had that many turnovers, it's so easy for Miami to score. At one point, Tyler Herro was stunting all over the Raptors, which was really, really sad to see. The Raptors, once again, most of their bench scoring was Bruce Brown, which, like, you know, I do feel a little bit for Bruce Brown in the sense that he went from having probably, like, some of the easiest shots of his entire life last year, playing with Nikola Jokic, to playing on the Raptors, where he's often playing with G League caliber players, and also having to task to create the offense. So, like, you go from, you know, the easiest, not the easiest job, let's say, but, like, you know, the easiest shots to taking the most difficult shots. Like, yeah, no wonder his whole thing is has fallen off. But Bruce Brown was actually, you know, making some shots. Grady was actually doing well to start the first half. You know, he was aggressive, attacking off the catch. He was shooting some mid-range ones as well. I just liked how he hunted his shot. But outside of that, like, just pretty terrible. It really started with Jimmy, who, you know, obviously is a leader for Miami. The thing with Jimmy is, anyone understands from watching any amount of Heat games, especially the regular season, is that, like, he'll just take a back seat for a long, like, a large stretch. He'll like to see what Hermosa's, and then, of course, in key moments, he will just, like, choose to turn it on and flip a switch. And when you're really that good, you can do that. And that's what Jimmy did in this game. Fourth quarter, or third, second quarter there, he went on a personal 6-0 run. He took it to the basket a few times. You know, he was Just again, like really, I don't know. It's just classic Jimmy Butler stuff, right? Like going to the rim. Jimmy was looking for Grady as well, and you know, getting after Grady quite a bit defensively. It's especially with Grady playing a lot more minutes now. He's kind of got like that target, and he's gonna have to prove that he can play defense and prove that he's not a liability, because it's not that dissimilar from a couple days ago where the Raptors played Brooklyn and Dennis Schroeder was looking for Grady. You know, like Gollum was looking for the ring, like that, it was just going after him. He's saying my precious when he got him. So it's going to be like that for Grady, and it's going to be up to him to prove otherwise. But yeah, Jimmy went after Grady a little bit, went on a 6-0 run. Docko called timeout, trying to like at least like, you know, get them back in control. Cause it's not necessarily about winning the games, cause we're long past that point, but it was about like, can you, you know, manage a game, even learning how to manage a game, right? Not losing by a ton. And the Raptors completely lost control here. You know, the Raptors actually did a decent job of playing defensively in the first, you know, quarter of the game when it was competitive. I thought Grady did a really good job rebounding and being active and, you know, flying out of closeouts. His energy was really strong for game 82. You got to think for Grady, too. Like, I know he's had this up and down season, but like, this is by far, this is like the NBA season is probably two times or even three times as long as the collegiate season. And much longer as well, and obviously much more challenging with how much more physicality there is in the league versus college, in terms of playing with, you know, grown men versus like playing with, you know, kids. And, you know, a lot of rookies obviously hit that wall. I thought Grady even having energy for game 82 was pretty strong. Of course, you know that me praising guys for defense in a game that was not competitive is a sign of how bad the Raptors were. But yeah, the Raptors just were not able to generate any offense. Miami was able to go the other way. I mean, like, again, when Tyler Hero's stunting on you, it's just a tough look. But, I mean, that's kind of where they are right now. And you just kind of have to live with it to some degree, as unpleasant as that might sound. You were hoping for maybe the Raptors can, like, do something in the third quarter. But basically Miami was like, look, if we throw one punch at the Raptors, they're going to fold. And I think that is something that, you know, has been a property of the Raptors all season. You know, like, they can hang in with certain teams, no problem. But, you know, there's always going to be that one punch. You know, when they played Denver, it was the same kind of deal. Like, the Raptors were actually up, and then Denver made a run, and then, boom, the Raptors are done. You know, the other day when they were playing Brooklyn, it was kind of the same deal. It just came later. Like, it's just any – it doesn't even matter, like, who it is. Obviously, there are certain teams that are much better, like Miami, like Denver, for example. But, like, even like-sized teams, when they, like, throw that punch at the Raptors, they get discombobulated. And you do wonder, like, who is going to be the one to take responsibility, right? Like, for example, on the flip side for Miami today was Jimmy Butler was like, okay, we're lagging a little bit. We're letting the Raptors hang around. Let me just go on a personal 6-0 run, force him into the timeout. And now all of a sudden, you know, my team has momentum and the rest of the guys can come in and do their thing. And Tyler Hero can come in and do this thing. And, you know, Bam Adebayo can just, like, absolutely smoke the Raptors on the inside. I mean, Kelly defensively against Bam, it's just – it's probably the worst possible matchup for him. And yeah, I mean, you know, I thought Bam schooled Kelly quite a bit. You know, it's just, yeah, it wasn't great. And of course, the Heat moved the ball really well too. And then they have multiple guys who can step up offensively. So yeah, it was just, you know, you wonder who's going to be that guy, who's going to show that type of maturity. Of course, it's difficult to expect that from a young team, but that is going to be the task that will be required, whether it's next year or beyond. At some point, people are going to have to take control of the team. Ideally, that's Scotty Barnes. We've seen Scotty Barnes more involved recently, even though he's on the bench. And I suppose if the season had, like, real stakes, like the Raptors playing a playing game tomorrow, they might try to push Scotty to play it. But, like, you know, he obviously got injured at a very unfortunate time, rendered a lot of the end of the season useless kind of for the team. It would have been great, not to go for the play-in, but just to see how Scotty continues to grow and develop. It was really fun watching him this year, and it sucked that for the last, like, 6 months or 6 weeks, it feels like we've been watching him sort of stand on the sideline. He has been really engaged on the sideline, you know, like, you know, pointing out to players where to be, you know, encouraging, you know, you see that kind of strong energy and that presence is strong. Like, you know, you don't see that from all the guys who are out, for example. But still, like, I just think that someone's got to step up and be that, whether that's quickly, whether that's RJ, whether that's Scotty. They got to learn that ability to, you know, take over and take responsibility for the team, because games are always going to, you know, rise and fall. And you know, there's going to be certain moments where, you know, everything looks easy and everyone looks good in that process. And then there's going to be difficult moments where you're in a scoring drought or, you know, your whole team is kind of panicking or whatever. And somebody's got to take that control. And, you know, we will see again how that all grows next season. As for this game itself, yeah, second half, you would have expected maybe the starters came in and did something. They did kind of buff up the lead, or at least cut into the lead by Miami. They think they cut it down to like, I don't know, they shaved like 10 points off that thing or something. And that's where you saw a stronger performance from Kelly, who, you know, knocked down some shots. I would love for him to be more aggressive with the threes. I know that the system is for the bigs to play make, and so if they're just shooting all the time, it kind of defeats the purpose. But still, like, you know, I would have loved to see just a little bit of that from Kelly in terms of just, like, gunning away, and you saw a little bit of that. In the third quarter, speaking of gunning, I thought Gary came in, and he had a slow first half and all that, but, you know, third quarter he came in, was pretty aggressive with his offense as always, knocked down some, you know, just run down the floor, pull up threes, you know, catch and shoot three off a nice hustle play from Ochai, a mid-range jumper. You know, that's the type of, like, I guess, explosive burst in scoring that you would want to see from Gary. I think, like, I don't know, Gary, we've seen Gary for like three seasons now with the Raptors, so we kind of, or maybe I guess 3.5, because we also saw him for half of Tampa, but, you know, like three full seasons. And I think with Gary, it's like, it's not necessarily, it doesn't create the type of havoc that, like, you look at a Tyler Herro did, you know what I mean? Like, I think Herro probably has some better skills than Gary, there's no doubt, like ball handling, and even the off-ball movement, but I continue to wonder, like, why we can't, like, coach that into him or use him in that way where, you know what, he creates more or he fully leverages the threat of his scoring. Gary kind of just scores in, like, little bunches, and a lot of times it's contested and individual. Sometimes it's, like, you know, kick out to him and stuff like that. But, like, you know, in the way that I guess Miami uses with Tyler, he can run a pick and roll here or there. He's obviously got a lot better players to play off of, too. I mean, like, you know, I think it would make a lot of guards look good to play two-man game with Bam Adebayo, for example. But, like, yeah, I mean, they run him off screens. They use him as a threat. He doesn't have to take every single shot, but at the same time, he's always very aggressive looking to score, and that intent creates plays for other people. Like, I thought Tyler was like, the player of the game for me. Like, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal. I guess you would just like to see more of that from Gary, because I just think that, like, he's got the harder part down, which is the ability to make shots. But, you know, getting him to play more within a system, obviously that's something that Darko wants out of all his guys. You know, you're seeing a little bit of that from Gary, but it still feels like he's, I don't know, sometimes when he's playing that this type of style, it almost feels like he's acting, like you could tell he's acting, you know, like a bad actor. Sometimes you could tell that they're putting on a performance rather than they make it look smooth and easy and believable. You know, like, you could tell that Gary's, like, preferred game is that kind of, like, I got the ball in my hands and I'm going to take a contested shot, or I'm going to be aggressive and create it myself rather than, like, be part of the system. But in any case, like, I think, you know, Gary finished the game, what, as the Raptors' leading scorer. He clearly has, like, a lot of scoring ability, and he's, you know, a premium shooter in this league. It's just about, like, fully leveraging that, and that is a coaching thing more than anything else, in addition to sort of who Gary is as a player. But I do think one thing with Gary too is you've been seeing a lot more recently where Gary's cutting and he's getting the ball, like, on these, like, duck-ins or on these cuts and stuff like that, and then he has to, like, finish not just like a simple layup, but, like, he's got his back to the basket, but he's within like 5-6 feet, and there's no help coming. You know, those type of scenarios, those kind of in-between finishes, I would like to see him show a little bit more in terms of just, like, you know, it almost looks like he rushes. He gets anxious a little bit when he's finishing like that. You compare how confident he is, for example, with his footwork of how to get to a three or how to get to the mid-range shot, even the little push floater that he likes to off the pick and roll. When he has his back to the basket and he's backing a guy down, it's almost like a quick spin, kind of like throw up a shot. Like, you know, like, it's just, it's not nearly as rehearsed. And I guess a shooting guard being less experienced in the post versus less experienced on the perimeter is not that big of a surprise, but I would just love to see a little bit more of that, because of the fact that this offense, if he continues to be here next season, will feature a lot of guards cutting to the basket, and he doesn't have the natural size of a guy like Grady, who's able to stretch and use his athleticism, and you know, we've seen him finish, you know, quite efficiently, but also, like, not have to efficiently, not just, like, in terms of, like, the shooting percentage, but efficiently in terms of, like, the economy of movement with Grady is probably cleaner than Gary. But in any case, just improve in any kind of way. He doesn't have to finish like Grady, but I would love to see just like a little bit more like finesse in the post to get towards his shot. Honestly, you know, even like working like Kelly in a way could really work. I know they're very different players and Kelly's much bigger, but Kelly seems to have this like sixth sense for how to lean and show the ball and like, you know, dribble one way, set up your defender, spin back the other way type of things. And he just leads them being super efficient. You know, I think, you know, you would love to see guys like that. I mean, speaking of like sense for how to score, I think Ochai really struggles with that. You know, we've seen lots of guys getting extra opportunities and Ochai included here. And he, you know, I think with Ochai, like, yes, there are certain skills for sure. Like he's a really good athlete. You know, he is a willing defender. He's willing to use his athleticism, and essentially the more he uses, the better. Like the more he gets on the offensive glass, like he did tonight, four offensive rebounds, the more that, you know, he's, you know, attacking and cutting and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. But when you give him the ball and he has to make not even just like decisions from a set position, right? But even decisions, you know, off the drive and all that stuff, like it's just not the same instinct that, and it doesn't look natural the way that you swing it to a Gary, you swing it to a Grady. Those guys kind of like have things. Like one thing Grady's done really well recently is when the ball swings to him and his man is on him and there's like a slight close out, not like a hard, like I'm going to run out with the hand close out, but just like a, I was kind of like playing in the gaps and now I got to get back to the perimeter. Even against that kind of stuff, Grady's done a really good job of practicing how to like use a jab step or, you know, like a ball fake or like, you know, swing it one way and then bring it back the other way and kind of go into his movement. Super decisive with that. And he's actually getting a lot of opportunities now where he's attacking those closeouts and getting to the basket or getting to the mid-range shot, which is also something he's good at. And then he has the finesse and he looks comfortable doing that. Ochai is like very like straightforward, one-dimensional, like catch and shoot. Okay, I've figured out how to do that. Cut to the basket. Okay, the ball's going to, I'm going to jump. The ball's going to come to me. I'm going to finish that. But like all the stuff in between, especially for a guard, is like really, really missing. There isn't that sort of natural feel. And when he gets the ball, you almost see him a little bit nervous. Now, I do think that probably more time in the system will help improve things. That's the hope. You could pretty much apply that to everybody, but still, like, that is one of the hopes. But like, we also know that Ochai hasn't been a strong offensive player in his time in the league so far. Now, of course, he's only played 2 years. He did play, you know, 4 years, I believe, at Kansas and was national champion. So, you know, that's good. But there is a skill level jump that I think for here, you know, the offensive production just has to be a lot higher. Defensive, I think, is fine. You know, to good, I would say. He's not like a stopper, like, you know, he just carries the defense. You know, he's more like, he's more pesky. He's more, you know, dedicated to his personal assignment. But I would say that there's not much like help defense that he's providing. I mean, there's not much defense being played by the Raptors across the board. So I'm not even trying to like pick on him. I just mean that like his defensive impact is mostly on the assignment that he's on. Right. But yeah, offensively, the floor has just kind of come a lot higher. And of course, like, yeah, he missed the three corner threes that he took, catch and shoots. All of them, like, pretty open. He just couldn't convert those. Of course, that is something that he needs to, you know, do. I mean, in his career, he's at 42%. I think just watching him shoot, there's a lot to be cleaned up from the release of the ball. Like, the ball, like, it gets to his hand, and he gets up to his shot, and then it just kind of, like, sticks almost in his hand a little bit, or, like, not even sticks. I mean, like, it lingers in his hand before he shoots it. I don't know if he's got, like, maybe I haven't really noticed. Does he have super big hands? Or is it just, like, he's not catching it well? You know what I mean? But, like, there is something where it's not quite a hitch. It's just, like, almost like a delay. Like, the momentum of the ball as he's, like, going up to shoot it and the transfer of the arm and everything. And this is not an expertise thing. This is just, like, me watching warm-ups and just passing along some observation. But it's not as smooth as, you know, other shots like Gary's or Grady's. And he doesn't have to get that good. If he got that good, then he's a starter. But he clearly isn't that good. And I think that, like, yeah, that's where you got to get, you know, you got to not rebuild the shot, but just, like, get him to be more smooth, more fluid with the release. You know, obviously, the shooting is going to have to be a big skill. Because it's, like, one thing you can do, especially now in the modern NBA, is, like, okay, you know what? You don't have, like, that great of, like, an overall offensive skill set. Like a guy like, you know, Ochai doesn't have a great offensive skill set right now. But if you can just knock down some threes and catch and shoots, like, I'm watching, who am I watching? A Taurean Prince on the Lakers? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like Taurean Prince has, like, this, like, diversity. He doesn't have a bag. But what he can do is, like, he can knock down a three. And, you know, if you do enough of that around other players, you could just live on, like, kickouts and threes like that. You can probably get to, like, 10 points a game, just depending on how many minutes you play in that type of role. You're probably going to be fifth option, but that's okay, right? But right now, Ochai kind of, you know, he's like a seventh option offensively, you know, like that. And I'm not trying to disparage him. I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of steps to be taken to improve his overall offensive awareness and also his overall offensive execution, especially because, again, for a guard, the bar is a lot higher. If a big had Ochai's, like, offensive skill set, he'd probably be a starter. But he's 6'4", right? So there are things that he needs to be improving on that end. Javon, honestly, he was fine. You know, did a decent job. You know, there's a couple times where I just think he's a little too over-aggressive going to the basket. Like, he goes for finishes that maybe work in the G League level, but in the NBA level, they're easy to swat or they're really contested and they're not a good shot at that point. So I think that's the adjustment period, because I think, you know, in the G League, he can definitely get to the basket and be quite effective doing that. But, of course, in the pros, it's going to be much more difficult to do that. But overall, I didn't think it was a minus. If the Raptors bring him back as a third string point guard, I don't think it's like an automatic given that he's like third string or even backup. But like, yeah, I mean, can you, I don't know. Can you probably hold off the next contender? Cause I do anticipate the Raptors continue to bring in more players for that sort of backup guard spot. And, you know, Javon should feel decent out of all the guys in terms of who got extra opportunities. He probably did the best with them, but the bar was very low and it wasn't like he like cleared it that much either. So I'm happy to see him continue to try to grow and expand. I think for him, you know, it's the awareness and the IQ as a playmaker too. Like, I think, yes, he can score a little bit. That's nice. You know, he's improved the shooting. That's important. That's what's going to keep him around, but it's also going to be like a couple more steps too. You know, again, like, the bar to being a guard in the league is just really high. Yeah, I mean, and the second unit guys, Wara, you know, Wara continues to, like, look really good in, like, limited minutes at the end of games, when it's not really that close. Like, he has a step back, he finished a couple baskets driving to the rim, rebounded the ball well. Like, you could argue he did everything you expect him to. I just don't feel like, personally, like, Darko trusts him that much. Like, you look at this game, for example, right? There's 10 players who could have realistically played in this game. And I believe War was the 10th guy to come in the game. Like, McDaniels is in the game before him. Garrett Temple's in the game before him. Malik Williams, who is basically here on an 11-day contract, is also here ahead of him, right? Like, you know, based on War's, like, you know, production and also his time in the league so far, you would think he would get more relative to this current opportunity. But we've seen, obviously, defensively, you know, it's not a fit. I think offensively, you know, Darko has a lot, you know, definitely doesn't want to see sort of one-on-one play. And I feel like War is definitely a guy who likes to have the ball. And, like, he looks best when he does that, quite frankly. And honestly, he has more on-the-ball offensive creation than a lot of other guys in this team. You know, like, probably has more of that than, definitely has more of that than Ochai and Grady, to be honest. But in terms of how he fits in the system, not really that great. And then defensively, you know, I haven't heard Darko that much, like, you know, individually say that these players, this guy needs to improve defensively, or this guy's, like, below standard defensively. But, like, you have him, heard him say that a few times about War. Like, we have him on a plan to learn how to play defense type of deal. And it's like, all right, you know, there's no standards for everyone else, but certainly there are standards for War. In any case, I like War. I think he would do better on a better team. But realistically, like, he's a bench guy for, like, he's maybe a bench guy for a playoff team. But he's skilled, and it really is just about teaching him the right way to play. He's on restricted free agent, so who knows if it comes back to the Raptors or not. But at least in this game, I thought he played well. The other guys off the bench, I mean, you know, Garrett plays the right way. He missed some open shots. But, like, realistically, him going 1-for-8, like, fine, whatever. It's the McDaniels minutes. And this is, like, literally game 82. And I guess he does have a player option, which kind of is incredible. Shout out to his agent, Bill Duffy, who, you know, also represents Scotty and RJ. So, and Grady. So, you know, maybe this was an agency favor or anything like that. I mean, that's just pure speculation. But, you know, it does feel like that sometimes, right? It's like, okay, all right. Because the thing is, like, guys get minutes and they get extended minutes, and you just hope that, like, they do something with it. Or even if they don't, like, be responsible with it. And I just feel like McDaniels comes to this game and there's just no like self-awareness to like how bad it gets. Like, you know, the McDaniels level of bad is not just a, like, okay, you know, the play comes to him and he didn't make the shot, or like he's guarding a guy who's really tough and he ultimately like couldn't, you know, stop a one-on-one and there was no help coming or anything like that. Like, he actively tries to create. He's like, when the ball hits his hands, he's like, oh, it must be my turn to cook, which is like, it genuinely is never your turn to cook. But then he takes it and he takes on a difficult task, and then he couples that with the lack of skill and the lack of size, and it just leads to these like moments that are so bad. Like, I throw my hands up at the TV at him all the time, and it's not, again, because we need him to win. Like, it's just like, what are you doing? You know, it's like he's like a walking faux pas when it comes to like what he's doing on the basketball court for the Raptors this season. And I know he wasn't this bad in previous years, but the fit here has just been, it's not even just the fit, just the behavior is pretty bad. Like, you saw him, like, you know, one of the plays in the third quarter, he's guarding Jaime Jaquez Jr., who's a rookie, by the way, although I guess they're similar in age because Jaime is 23 and I think McDaniels is probably like 24 maybe. Any case, whatever. And he's guarding the rookie, and he gets cooked so badly that McDaniels falls over and grabs at his own knee as Jaime Jaquez like shakes him and gets an open like mid-range pull-up. Now, he missed a shot, and the Raptors got the rebound. And so McDaniels just like immediately got up. He went from like, oh, my knee hurts, to like, oh, I'm instantly running the other way. But like, come on, man. That's like, yeah, like you get extra opportunities. It can't just be like that. Or like, his one of the first plays he came into the game, second quarter, he's guarding Jimmy Butler. And as soon as Jimmy got the ball, I'm just like yelling at the TV, don't jump, don't jump, don't jump. And what does he do? But Jimmy Butler throws a pump fake at him, and McDaniels jumps at him. And, you know, they give him the call. Now, it wasn't, like, the biggest amount of contact, so Darko did challenge, but it was unsuccessful because he did ultimately fall for the fake and jump into Jimmy Butler. It's, like, the number one thing on the scouting report. Don't jump on Jimmy Butler, especially when you're 6'10", right? It's like, okay, yeah, it's one thing if you're, like, smaller and you're a guard and you're trying to, like, maybe make a play by, like, anticipating or cheating. McDaniels is just, like, not aware, right? And that's the thing that gets really bad. And then the fourth quarter, just this McDaniel stretch, I got to read it out, okay? He drives, or driving layup to his right hand. That's his dominant hand. He's got a much smaller defender on him. He's driving straight to the basket, no help coming. And he smokes the right-handed layup, right? Next play down, the ball is on the wing. The Raptors are just trying to, like, set up and try to probably reverse the ball to the other side. But they're just trying to, like, move the ball around. And there's just, like, a little bit of ball pressure, I think, also from Jaime Jaquez Jr. And McDaniels ends up losing the ball and stepping out of bounds. Then he gives up on the other end a driving and one to Jaime Jaquez Jr. And then McDaniels is like, okay, next time down, he gets the ball. And even though he's made all these mistakes, he's like, oh, it's time for me to drive. Go to my left for a fadeaway. Like, dude. It's the awareness. Like, if you did this in a pickup game, people will be yelling at you and being like, yo, I don't want you on my team anymore. Like, it's that kind of stuff. He drives left for a fadeaway despite being ice cold, obviously misses it. And then, you know, it's tough. Then, yeah, there's another play where, again, he's driving for another shot, pulls up, you know, contested in the lane, misses it. And then on the other end, Jaime Jaquez Jr. is like pushing on the break, and he's setting up for a right-handed finish. And McDaniel's like, okay, I'm going to atone. And this is probably one of the few times I've seen him like sprint back on defense. He sprints back on defense looking for that block on the right side, except Jaime Jaquez steps through and finishes on the left side. And not only does McDaniels like whiff on the block and also whiff on the shot, but the only thing he ends up hitting is Ochai in the head with the contest. And it's like, dude, this whole season has been bad, but like, you know, you know how bad you got to be like uniquely bad, like noticeably bad in a season where the Raptors are 25-57, like, and every Raptor fan notices this. Every single Raptor fan knows exactly what I'm talking about. So it's tough, but in any case, whatever. It's been a tough season, and hopefully, you know, we just move on. We just, you know, need to see a lot of individual improvements, need to see some changes in the roster, and hopefully that happens. But before I get to the three stars, a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your last three stars from me, at least, on the Reaction Podcast here at the Raptor Show. The Reaction Podcast obviously will continue. Just, you know, like I brought the whole thing in, so like I'm gonna keep doing this, but at least the last one on this platform. Your three stars, first I'm going to give it to Grady. I thought he was really competitive in this one. 14 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals. You know, there's obviously going to be limits to his game, but I think he stuck through it, and I think he's got a really positive attitude. And yeah, I mean, he looks serious. I know he's a goofy guy, you know, off the court, as you would probably expect from a 20-year-old, but like, he on the court, he looks really serious. He goes about his business. He competes. You know, sometimes he gets beat. That's okay, but I don't feel like he's acting out of turn, and he's not shying down from challenges. That in itself is really promising. He's got the right mindset. And of course, there's going to be other things to grow in terms of physicality, his skill set. But, you know, you could say that about any rookie. The most important thing is he's got a good head on his shoulders. And I think from day one, you heard Pascal saying, like, he's a good rookie. You know, like, even going back to training camp, everyone said the exact same thing about him. And then when you read the whole Grange story that he wrote about Grady and his upbringing, you understand that, like, it's not just Grady's like this, but his whole family upbringing is like this, too. So it just makes me feel very, you know, proud of Grady as a Raptor fan for the turnaround. Because, like, again, in the calendar year 2023, Grady was averaging 3 points a game and shooting 29% from the field. And when he went to that G League, it was also pretty bad. They had, like, a 1-12 game in the G League. So for him to turn around to this degree and maintain this positivity, which probably helped him go through it, but also is going to help him going forward, salute to Grady Dick. Truly a nice rookie season and one of the few bright spots this year for the Raptors. Your second star, I'll give that to... I don't know, man. I'll give it to Kelly. I think with Kelly, I just would love to see, like, okay, I know he's bad defensively, but, like, there's plays where, like, Jimmy Butler will drive on him, and he'll just, like, keep sagging off, and Jimmy will get to the layup. And then the next play down, the Heat are coming down, and Caleb Martin is thundering down for a dunk, and he just, like, literally steps out the way. But still, offensively, you know, he's savvy. He can really play. I respect the fact that, of course, he's a vet coming to this situation. Of course, we know the personal affiliation he has with Toronto. Being from here, being that his parents both grew up here, him being Captain Canada and everything like that. But, like, I also respect that, you know what, in a difficult season, a lot of guys could have rested. Kelly rested one time. Or no, he rested twice. And are both back-to-backs. And otherwise, he's played, he's competed, and he's maintained a positive attitude as well. Like, I haven't seen him really sulk or throw his hands up or whatever. But 11 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. Pretty average game for Kelly, but still. You know, average goes for a long way in this kind of game 82. And then your third star, I'll give it to Jordan. 14 points, 11 rebounds. He did a lot off the bench. Just, you know, he was a 10th man and did it in moments where they were down like 20. But, you know, at least he did something with it, you know. Like, so your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's going to be – I'm going to give it to DeLon Wright. I really love DeLon Wright's game in this one. 11 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals, a block, 4 of 7 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. He's really obviously gotten that 3 to a much higher level, and that's coming into the league. That was the big concern for him. I mean, like, these guys are young enough where I still remember, like, all these guys coming in the league, what they were like as rookies. And, you know, he was an older rookie. He had a unique path to the league and everything like that. But he's really carved out a nice niche for himself as this, like, backup point guard. And, you know, he's a guy that, I mean, like, I'm not necessarily advocating for the Raptors to sign DeLon, but, like, he would be a really nice backup point guard for the Raptors. He plays defense. He plays the right way. He's crafty. You know, younger DeLon had all these, like, little, like, hezzy in-between game moves. Like, I remember a period where people were kind of gassing him up to be, like, maybe a Sean Livingston type, because he did have that little bit of that craft. I think Serge used to call him DeLontino, which is also quite nice. Again, like, I usually have positive memories for all those guys from back in the day, but... yeah, it's just, I'm, you know, another former Raptor who's still doing a good job around the league. And, you know, I thought he did a really good job playing against Raps tonight. So that's your Gerald Henderson Award winner. And then, yeah, finally, just want to say once again, thank you to everyone for listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. Of course, the React Pods will continue. But at least on this platform, I appreciate it so much. I think I've done every single game except for one. I think maybe in season one of doing this, I gave Alex responsibility of doing one of the React Pods. Maybe him and Blake did it together, but, like, I think I just only took one React Pod off. So that's, like, what, 82 games. Then, of course, there's preseason React Pods, which are usually, like, 5 to 7. So let's say an average of 6, another 18 games. The Summer League React Pods, which I believe most of them got Reaction Podcast. Some of the Summer League games were, like, kind of whiffy. So, like, let's say, like, 4 per year on those, and that's another 12. You know, there's been Can the Basketball React pods too, but you know, let's just put that aside. That's not technically a Raptors reaction podcast. Yeah, like it's really funny because I think some people have seen that accidental Bronson thing where Action Bronson read out a whole bunch of like you know, tweets that kind of accidentally sound like Action Bronson lyrics, and one of mine made it in there, and it actually epitomizes like my whole energy towards doing the show, unironically, and also especially the reaction podcast, which I really, really have come to truly love. Is, you know, the tweet was 12 a.m. on the Amalfi Coast watching the Raptors play preseason in Edmonton, and that's an actual thing that happened. Like, I remember that game. The Raptors beat the Jazz. First half was close. The second half, the Raptors put their bench in, played really well. We got really hype. I think Delano Banton got first star. Precious was second star, something like that. And yeah, I remember like making sure to time the trip that when I got into our Airbnb on the Amalfi Coast, we timed it so that I could like sit on the bed and just watch the Raptors play preseason. And you know, that game only started at 12. It finished at like 2:30 local time. Did the pod, you know, I brought a microphone to my Italian, you know, trip, like, and I did multiple like react pods from there. And it's purely out of passion. Like, you know, I don't get paid per episode. Like, I get paid an average, you know, like I got to pay like a biannual or biweekly, you know, salary, like most people. Right. And you know, my supervisor, like Dan Toma, would always tell me like, in the summertime, we're really mindful of like, you know, how much work you put in throughout the season. So, you know, just take the summer off. But like, that's something we never did. Like every week in the summertime, we would do like 2-3 episodes. Obviously, if it's really dead, we'll do one. We, you know, sometimes we had nothing to talk about, we still do the banter pod, and that would be like 3-4 hours just out of pure passion. So like the fact that tweet actually became like the accidental Bronson tweet, it actually really epitomizes like my whole energy and approach towards this thing. So anyway, I say all that to say that like I know that I put a lot of passion into this. I think you know, some people might prefer to be more analytical, some people might prefer to be, you know, in a different way. This is just how I make it, and I just want everyone to know that I made this with a lot of love, like a lot of passion and a lot of love for this team, for covering this team, and for doing this program. So thanks everyone for listening for the last time on the Raptor Show, at least, the Raptors Reaction Podcast. And this was brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. Salute to Campbell's for supporting the show. And yeah, I'll be back with two more episodes next week, Monday and Tuesday, breaking it down with Blake Murphy as the Raptors head towards locker room cleanups.